Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There is always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore ethically non-monogamous relationships, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of ethical non-monogamy in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion, with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hands down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Hey there, swing set fans. In the podcasting world, ranking high on iTunes can mean the difference between some listeners and lots of listeners. So do us a favor and hop onto iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate us, and submit a 1 to 2 sentence review telling us what you think. If you listen to us on mobile devices, you can also find us on Stitcher. Download their mobile app and look up Life on the Swing Set and listen to any of our episodes on demand at your fingertips. You can also help us out if you live around the world and have unique local issues to air that we may not have touched on. We want to hear about them. Head over to www.lifeontheswingset.com/forum and post about it. You can also leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING and we may address you on the air. Thanks for listening.
So after several big shows with guests in a row, we decided to have the most important guests of all on this week, our listeners. Now, as you hold the vomit back that's surely crawling up your throat at the ridiculousness of that statement, I'll move on from the treacle and tell you that this is our first listener voicemail gangbang. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set. I'm Cooper Beckett. Tonight I have with me...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
I am ashamed to be Dylan.
Oh, and this is Shira B. Katz, who's consoling our ashamed Dylan.
And it's Marilyn Beckett, too.
Yay!
Very excited. I haven't done a podcast in I don't know how long, besides our little podcast.
Yeah, you haven't been on in almost a year and a half, I think.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't it the girls show? And
yeah,
then we did the Desire one, I think, was the last.
Oh, yes. You were on the Desire one, but you haven't been on an official podcast.
No, I have not. So this is very exciting.
This is actually the first show that Marilyn and I have both been on. So pleased to meet you.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's very nice.
Although, you know what? You were on a few shows ago. I seem to remember a sink going. And I think that was you. So
No, she was trying to take her bath.
Yeah, I got in trouble.
I see.
And I heard it on the podcast. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah.
Yes.
So does anyone have any business tonight before we get going?
I got a vasectomy.
Yay.
Oh,
I got a vasectomy.
Yay.
Yeah, just under 2 weeks ago. Thank you. And it's been a wild ride. Totally wasn't what I expected. It was not nearly as bad as I was expecting. I never had to take any pain medication. On the other hand, I had a grapefruit between my legs for a while, which kind of sucked. And my orgasms have changed.
Interesting. How so?
Really? Oh, wow.
Well, it's less... And I'm sure this is something I'm just going to have to get used to or something that's going to evolve, but it feels less like it's all for nothing all at once. I've always had this feeling of after a really, really good... sexy time, playtime, date, or just having a good time with Tonya, almost emptying out. You know, that whole feeling that like a guy's unloading. I really felt that, and I felt like I had expended the contents of my balls after it was done. And that I know is crude saying it, but it's the only way I have to really describe that, I guess.
I think it may be psychological. I think you're just concerned.
I was just going to ask if it was a psychological thing.
It may very well be.
You're dumping your balls into your balls, really, at this point.
It may very well be psychological. But what I can tell you is that the first orgasm felt very different. And since then, it hasn't been worse. It's just felt different. And I've been trying to be very objective about it. And it's just... Yeah,
it
I almost
was,
feel like
was
I can go
last
longer.
Last week or something, wasn't it? It was really recently, right?
Yeah, it was less than 2 weeks ago. So it may change back.
You still may be recovering.
Yeah, totally. I'm amazed you're even like back at it already. Like, well played, sir.
I'm counting down to 15 when I can go get the first test.
Didn't
I'm up
you
to
see
nine.
His the Facebook post that, you know, like 6 hours before he was supposed to be allowed to have sex again, he just went ahead and went with it.
That's true. I did break the seal 6 hours ahead of time.
Oh boy,
do you feel liberated?
Yeah.
That's
unquestionably
awesome.
He will not be producing a Dylan child either with Tonya or with another
not another one. And people keep asking me, both swingers and other, why did you do this? And I thought it'd be pretty self-explanatory because I don't want to have another child, but they think that the obvious questions of, well, if the people you're going to be with are on birth control, why not? Well, because not everything is 100%. Condoms are definitely not 100%, and while I've never broken one, it could happen. And I would just like two methods of birth control that I personally control. I control a condom, and I control my sperm output now.
Yeah.
That makes me feel very, very good.
That's good, and it's important to remember that not every non-monogamous woman uses hormonal birth control or any other sort of birth control on her side.
Right.
Like, so, I don't.
Yeah, there you go. So I don't feel bad with being with anyone now, despite their birth control method.
I'm glad you no longer feel bad being with people, because that's really not a good way to swing, Dylan.
Well, there's occasionally been a little item popping up in the back of my head, like, well, you know, what if something happens? It hasn't been a big deal, but it's been there, and I figured, well, you know what, this is a very easy way to squash it. And if at some time in the future there was a reason not to use protection, I would also be okay there. I'm not interested or looking for that, but, you know, Tonya and I were exploring polyamory a little bit, and if we found a committed partner, that might be something we want to explore. This opens that option.
Absolutely. Well played.
Yes.
I have a teensy bit of business that I'm going to try to gloss over. I kissed a boy.
Yay!
Oh. And actually, that. Now that I think about saying that, with the Penn State fiasco, I probably should clarify, I kissed a man.
Oh,
yeah.
I really don't want to talk about that.
So, yeah.
I can barely even ask you this question. Did you enjoy it? And I'm still going to call it boy kissing, goddammit.
Well, he and I have had this discussion. It was odd.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just, it was odd. First of all, we both have beards. So, odd, right?
Only there. Only you can prevent forest fires.
It was odd. I didn't have a problem with it.
Did it do anything for you?
It was fun in the moment.
Ah.
It was not like a... You know, I still look at girls and I want to kiss them. I look at guys, I do not want to kiss them.
Well, they're not as soft and fun as, you know,
that's
guys
right.
are not that. That's why girls are so much more fun. What do you think us girls kiss other girls for?
That's long been my hypothesis.
I think boys kiss other boys because it's pretty fun too. At least that's what I like to imagine late at night when I'm in bed all alone.
I did fulfill my end of the bargain, which was promised, I think, on your first show, Shira, which was to notify you immediately afterwards.
Oh, yeah. You texted me, and I
texted
really appreciated
her that night.
That. Yes. So. Thank you. Thank you.
So it's no longer an off-the-table thing. How about that? Is that enough?
That's exciting.
So this means you've walked one more number to the right on the scale?
No.
Because he didn't enjoy, you know.
Moving down that scale is more about relationships, I think. Mm. We've had this discussion. Don't you believe? Like,
yeah.
Like, Jin, as the person, I think, closest to the center of that scale.
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree that it's more about, could you see yourself having a relationship with either party? And if it's almost equal, you're pretty much the center of the scale.
That's certainly how I perceive it. And when it comes to just even when you guys were saying about preferring kissing girls because they're soft and, you know, yes, they're beautiful and soft. Women are beautiful and soft. But then I do crave a rough male chiseled sort of face to kiss sometimes. Men, generally speaking, kiss differently than women. And it's fascinating.
True.
It's just fact. It just, there's something different. And, you know, maybe it's just in the essence of, you know, the people. I don't know. I can't, I guess, definitively say that because I don't think I've kissed enough people. But I certainly know. I will speak
in
from
your
my
sample
own.
Size.
My sample size is not large enough. But I will say I do crave kissing men and kissing women equally. And I can say that for my taste, the idea of partnering in an emotional or romantic capacity with a man or a woman seems fairly equal. So that's how it works for me. I don't know how it works for everybody else.
How old are you, Ginger?
How old am I?
I know this is rude. I'm just guessing. Like, give me a ballpark.
No, it's not rude at all. I'm late 30s. Let's just call it that. But I'm totally fine with age. Like that's how I roll. Like just put it all out there, man.
Good. That's awesome. I'm in my late 20s. I'm almost 30, and I've come to realize that I am all but a very narrow gap, not attracted to women as much as I have been, and I feel really bad about it. But I think there's something hormonally going on inside of me that is just making me very male-focused recently.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Well, you shouldn't feel bad about it.
Well, I mean, the women that I am attracted to, I'm practically in love with. But but aside from that, I've been very male-focused lately. And I'm starting to think it's a fact of the age where, you know, the next 5 to 7 years are kind of the real ramp up for prime baby making time. So my hormones have me looking at all the silverback gorillas out there.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'd be interested to talk more about that cycle and like when it started and how long it's lasted. I certainly know that I ebb and flow back and forth between my the urgencies of my attractions, I guess, is the best way to put it. And it is.
I'll agree with that one too.
Yeah, it's an interesting bi experience to, you know, I guess just, you know, I don't want to say there's really any rhyme or reason to it now that I think about it either. Although there are times when, if it's been a long time since, I've had a woman in my life that it does get a little, who is it? We had a Facebook exchange about being angry bi chick. When you're just like, and Prof calls it that too. He's like, you know.
You mean bi furious?
Oh my God.
I like that.
That's Scott Pilgrim, yeah?
Yes.
I will not recover from that. That's just like. I'm gonna have the giggles the rest of the
shut her down.
Episode. Wow.
Shut her down.
It completely. Oh my gosh.
Oh, cute.
Giggles.
So, Shira, just for your edification, what this has done has shown me that I did something that I was nervous about and wasn't interested in, and it was okay.
Well,
therefore,
that's good.
I'm not putting any further restrictions on it.
Yay! I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you're opening up.
Yes.
It is, totally. As I practically ear rape everyone into being bisexual.
you do your best.
I really do. I appreciate you telling me about that. Hot!
Well, you do it on your own, sweetie. I have no interest in that.
You have totally no interest in guys and guys together?
I don't mind the playing. It's the kissing I have no interest in. The playing, I totally get. It's just like, okay, it doesn't do anything.
Huh.
So, yeah. But if he wants to go ahead,
clarify your position
on
the playing, though, because it's not that you don't mind it. It's that you can get off watching it.
Oh, well, yes. Well, that I can go into great detail about that. But the kissing, it just nothing. Like, I wouldn't be able to come from that or anything. I could just watch guys playing, and there he goes. So it just goes by itself.
I think Shira might be able to come from watching guys kissing.
I have.
There she goes.
But I think it just goes to show you different things do different things for different people. Mm-hmm. Whatever floats your boy sex boat.
Yes, exactly.
So let's move on to our first listener question. And for all our listeners out there, if you want to record a voicemail for us, the number is 573-557-9464.
Hey guys, I just wanted to call in and see if I could get some advice. I follow you guys pretty closely, and I have come to a new situation. My husband and I are same room, full swap swingers, and we have met this really fantastic couple. And me and the other husband have really great chemistry and strong attraction to each other, and the same for my husband and his wife, and things are really good. The problem comes in that the other husband considers his penis size to be kind of small. He's like 5.5-6 inches, but my husband is probably 3 inches bigger than that. So he... we always have fun, but at the end, I get the feeling that the other husband feels kind of gypped or jaded about the situation. Anyway, I just don't know how to reassure him that I am very satisfied at the end of every encounter we've had, and I really just enjoy all of his talents and his size. It's just not that important to me. So any help that you can give to me on advice on how I could reassure him, or how my husband or the other wife could reassure him so that everyone is enjoying our playtime equally, I would totally appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
First, I would say you shouldn't have your husband reassure him.
Yeah, no.
there's no way that turns into a good situation. And judging from her vague notes there, we're looking at a guy with a 9-inch, possibly plus, cock. So, yeah, he's not going to be able to reassure him.
That's just...
Shira, as our resident
I knew it.
Size queen, why don't you take a stab at this one?
Da-da-da-da! Captain Size Queen is here. First off, I think that what she needs to know is that her other partner is actually does not have a small penis. According to Gebhardt and Johnson from their 1979 study, the average length of a man's erect penis is 5 to 6.5 inches. And the average width of a man's erect penis, I can say penis, the average width is, between 4 and 5 inches. So it sounds like her other partner is perfectly average. Her husband, on the other hand, has a big fucking cock. And so it's something that she should probably be aware that when she goes into these situations in the future, she's probably going to run into this pretty often. Other guys are probably going to be smaller than her husband and feel a little bit funny about that. So she should probably not necessarily cite these figures to her other partner. But,
hey, nothing is sexier than stats.
Well, it's sexy for me. I don't know. But some people are sensitive about that sort of thing. But she should be coming from the point of view that her other partner is perfectly average. The other thing is it's all about your attitude. And I think that initially everyone's a little bit nervous about their body, and it's dependent upon your partner sometimes showing you that they enjoy your body, that you can kind of find some comfort. And so as you get to know this couple better and you spend more time with the husband of this couple, I'm sure that things will get a lot more comfortable. Also, the last tip I can give is based on my own threesome experiences in situations where I had one partner who was significantly larger than the other partner, and the other partner had performance issues, is fucking fake it if you need to. And that sounds terrible. But if your partner is having some ED issues, or if it seems like the size just isn't doing it at the moment, pretend for your other partner's sake, because that will actually boost their confidence a little bit and make them better performing in the future. And I know that sounds terrible and you're never supposed to pretend, but I've been in situations where the worst thing that could have possibly happened would have been me sitting up with one partner on one side of me and the other partner on the other side of me and saying, hey, why isn't your dick working? Just trying to go with it and enjoying it and not making a big fuss and still having a good time will actually help. Those are my tips.
I actually, I want to disagree with you on a couple things, respectfully, of course.
Oh, absolutely. Many people do, I've come to find.
First of all, I like that you did say that you may want to, in the heat of a moment, fake it a little bit and then recover later, because there is an energy and a vibe that comes to group sex that doesn't work for anyone if one person isn't clicking. And sometimes it's just better to let it go for a half hour or an hour, however long it is, and then recover some other way. Talk about it later, whatever. I agree with you there. And obviously you don't want to make that a habit. I don't want to make that a habit.
Well, if you can make it so it's not obvious, it's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to keep being with the people, it's okay.
She did say she enjoys her time with him thoroughly.
Right. Yes, so and that's what I wanted to touch on.
She doesn't even need to fake it. It sounds like she just needs to enjoy her time with him thoroughly, maybe a bit more thoroughly than she usually does. Even
well, that's what I wanted to touch on. You were talking a lot about having this long conversation with this other partner, and maybe not about statistics, but you know, about how you're enjoying things. And my response to that is, I don't think that's your responsibility to convince him that you're having a good time. If he's having confidence problems because your husband has a large penis, then that's a problem with him, and that's something that he's really got to work out before he can continue swinging successfully with you guys. If you're friends with them, yeah, sure, talk about it a little bit. But if you can't go to him and say, hey, I enjoy you a lot. I love that my husband has a 9-inch penis, and I love that you have a 6-inch penis and you do amazing things with it. If that isn't good enough for him, then he needs to do something else.
You probably don't need to specifically say that she loves. He probably knows she loves her husband's penis. All she really has to do is say, "I love your penis. Yeah. I love what you do to me."
But the thing is, she doesn't have to go out of her way to convince him, because that's not her job.
Maybe not. I would do it, though, if it was a partner that I really enjoyed. I think more communication's better.
Yeah, why should you have to put up with somebody else's insecurities? I suppose if you're going to be in a longer-term relationship with them, okay, then you may want to do that. But I feel like I've had this insecurity before. I've had this insecurity through being a grower, not a shower. And I've had this insecurity because I've had a recent partner where her husband is a very, very large man, and I'm average, and I'm okay with that. I got over it because I thought of how hot it would be to watch him railing Tonya. And any time that little insecurity would come up, I would shove it to the back of my head, or I would amplify it and then deal with it in the moment, and it ended up working out. I'm not saying that works for everybody, but I dealt with it instead of pouting or looking unsatisfied or potentially not being happy about somebody else being with my wife. That's kind of selfish to do in that four person or larger group sex moment. And so I think that he and his wife need to deal with that more than you need to deal with that, you know, with him.
Dylan, I totally am hearing your point about that it's his issue and he has to deal with it. And he does. I mean, internally, he has to process that his body is different from the other guy's body. But when I was listening to the call, I couldn't help but get this, like, I don't know what to call it, but she was saying that she enjoys him thoroughly and she wants him to get over his insecurity so she can fully enjoy herself with him like she has. And I couldn't help but have kind of a instinct to want to like grab him by the scruff of the neck a little bit and say, I just want you to know you're really hot and what you do to me is amazing. And just look him right in the eye and say, you know, don't fuck it up, man.
Yes, that you know, was going on
let's,
in my head.
Let's
I wanted
keep
to grab
having
him.
This. Yes. Yeah, let's keep having the fun that we're having. And please, please, please let go of what you've got going on, because what you do to me is spectacular. And so almost like... I don't know. It feels a little selfish the way I would want to handle it. But if it's really good and there's four-way chemistry, man, I just want to say to him, you know, dude, go for it. Get over it. It sounds like she's having a rockin' time. And so if I were in her shoes, that's what I would do, is I would just, in kind of the heat of the moment when it felt right, just say, what you do to me is the hottest thing, and please keep doing it, and don't let anything get in between you doing that to me more, because I feel like that would be some pretty good incentive for him to take himself out of the situation when the time was right and really process, whether it was with his partner or just within himself, to say, wow, I really moved her to some passion and I want to keep doing that.
So some varied responses for our listener. Let's go with the next question.
Hey guys, it's FJ here. I have a question. Actually, it's more of a scenario that I'd love to hear you guys discuss. It goes like this. Say you're invited to a house party where you only know a few of the couples. Well, when you get there, one of the other couples, the woman, is obviously pregnant. Now, does this squeak you out? Does it make the whole party kind of feel awkward? Is it a huge turnoff? Or is it really no big deal? I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts and hear you guys discuss this one. Take care. Love the show. Bye.
I like this question.
Yeah, we've never had, I don't think I've ever heard this question on a show, but I've never encountered it. But what do you guys think?
Well, I can say that I would love to see a pregnant girl at a swing event, because that's one of my fetishes.
Oh, see, so, we haven't done any of those. We haven't found any of those parties yet.
We haven't met any. We've met some pregnant swingers, but they've always been so hesitant to do anything while pregnant.
Oh,
so,
well, yes.
It's never really come up. But personally, I think it's great if a pregnant girl is comfortable enough with her body, pregnant, to come to an event and play.
I agree. I think that'd be very, I mean, I don't know how I'd feel if I, you know, girl play with the pregnant woman, but I mean, I think it would be interesting to see how everything feels differently when she's pregnant than, you know, regular, because I think it would be really awesome.
I think the key to this question was that he mentioned it was a smaller party. I mean, anybody that goes to any play event knows that there's going to be plenty of variety, big, small, you know, tall, whatever. And you just go with what you're interested in. At a smaller event, I could see that there'd be a little more pressure to play with someone, even if you might not be interested. So if that was, for example, an 8-person play party and 4 people were already playing, and the only couple left was a pregnant couple, and you just weren't interested in being with someone pregnant, I would say that it'd be more awkward to pretend to play and enjoy it than it would be to just go out and say, by the way, you guys are adorable, but we're not really interested in somebody that's pregnant, so let's just chill and have a good time. It would get rid of all the pretense, and it would be less awkward than sitting around waiting for when somebody else would come out so you could go play with them, and then that couple would feel rejected.
If it is a small party, they might want to think about actually just, you know, reaching out to the organizers beforehand and saying, hey, this is our situation. Do you think this will be okay and welcomed? And I have always been surprised by people's responses to the pregnant lady question. A lot of people are very willing to play with pregnant people and are actually kind of excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually, Prof and I have attended a party where someone attended, a woman, half of a hetero couple attended, and she was pregnant. And it was a large party. So it was really just dancing and, you know, just observing. I was never, it never turned me off in any way. It didn't necessarily turn me on either. It was just a different body. It did raise questions for me in terms of where would I be as a pregnant woman in that atmosphere? What would that be like? And it was more just mental gymnastics than anything else. So I really feel like the bottom line of any type of play experience when a pregnant, particularly a pregnant woman, is involved is to just be uber respectful of any of her choices in the moment, because she's got a lot of responsibility on her shoulders. And I say that in the best and most wonderful way possible. So, you know, if anything, I think it's pretty incredible that someone who's in a place where their body is changing in such a way can just be out there and be comfortable in that atmosphere, in that sexually charged atmosphere. And I think it's lovely if people can gain enjoyment from it, whether it's just watching or whether she is willing to play. I just think that it really does boil down to just perhaps having a little bit of extra communication and a little bit of extra respect for the place that she's holding in the world right now. Just letting it be what it should be for her. And it could be really awesome to see a pregnant body in action.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. While we're gone, any pregnant women in the Chicagoland area, please feel free to email Cooper at lifeontheswingset.com. And I'd be happy to encounter you at a party. When we come back, we've got two more listener voicemails, and we're going to gangbang the shit out of them.
Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
When it comes to online dating, you at home have a lot of options available to you. But we here at Life on the Swing Set recommend Cassidy.com. We've tried many websites in the past, and while most are adequate and some are even pretty good, the one that we keep coming back to is Cassidy.com. And there are a few reasons for that. First of all, and most important to me, is ease of use. You want to put a picture on your page? You know how to do it. It's intuitive. It's built in. It's Facebook for non-monogamy. Cassidy also has one of the most aggressive campaigns out there, to get the most people all around the world onto the site. Right now, potential Playmates are scattered throughout regional websites. Wouldn't it be awesome if they were all in one place so you could search one site and find absolutely everyone you were interested in playing with? Well, that's where the Campaign for Cassidy comes in. Cassidy need not be your only site, but we recommend you give it a try. And if you sign up using the link on our page, you support Life on the Swing Set, so we can continue bringing you what's been called the best non-monogamy podcast out there. And if that's not incentive enough, if you join Cassidy, you get to see my wife's tits. How can you argue with that? Cassidy.com. Hey, listeners. Have you listened to Pedestrian Polyamory and Swinging with the Becketts, the two Life on the Swing Set spin-off podcasts? Well, if you haven't, Pedestrian Polyamory is a look at polyamory from a level-headed point of view, hosted by our own Shira B. Katz and her husband, Gavin Katz. And Swinging with the Becketts features Marilyn and myself interviewing a new swinging couple every month to discuss their time in the lifestyle and any advice they would give to newbies. So check them out, the two new Swing Set podcasts at lifeontheswingset.com. Okay, welcome back to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. This is our listener voicemail gangbang thingy, and we've got another question on deck.
Hey, Swing Set guys. It's I'm Brad. I'm a 43-year-old bisexual guy. And I'm kind of curious as to why a lot of females have an issue with playing with a guy's ass. I mean, just curious about it. So, thanks.
I want to address the central conceit here first, is I think the reason a lot of females have a problem playing with guys' asses is because guys' asses have, by and large, been off the table as far as erogenous zones for a long time, so therefore they don't have the experience and familiarity that they might have with, say, the upfront equipment.
I would agree with that. I mean, I've only found a couple guys who are comfortable with that. Then most of them, you get the vibe that are like, no, not so much. I think it's mostly the guys. I think of me, I have no issue with it. I think it's the guys being comfortable with it.
Do you think that you would get, if you were not interested in anal play with guys, would you be insulted if a guy came along and said, by the way, I'm interested in anal play if you are? I think that sounds like a pretty reasonable standard question. I mean, you're already going to ask in some situations about, you know, STDs and birth control and stuff like that. You might as well just ask if ass play is on the table, right?
Well, I make it clear to all my playmates that I'm interested, and some of them go for it and some of them don't. So I think it's like nothing. I mean, it's like all other kinks. I mean, it's nothing out of the ordinary at this point. I don't think there's going to be really anyone in the swinging lifestyle who's going to be shocked to find out that you might have some interest in ass play.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even consider it a kink at this point. I mean, there's a lot of girls who are offended if you ask them for a blowjob. Like, I don't know. Like, you're going to find women who are interested or not interested in something. And the thought is to go in confidently when you ask. Don't act like you're asking for a favor. Act like you're
pretty
coming.
Please.
Yeah, none of that. None of that. Even though that's kind of hot too for some people, but for most women, women respond to confidence.
Sure.
Women respond to confidence, and so if you go in confidently and say, "Hey, I like this, and if you do too, I'd be interested in doing that. And if not, I'm totally okay with that. Give me a blowjob."
I do think it's good to offer it up that it's something that you like. I've actually heard from friends in the lifestyle. One friend in particular, he was telling me a story about a woman that he had an experience with, and she was very into it, and he was not at all. But he didn't say anything. And, you know, I don't know where his lack of interest, you know, if it stemmed from just, oh, she shouldn't be doing that, or what the deal was, but he didn't speak up. And so I think it is something that some people would prefer to not engage in. So definitely make your interest known. One other thing, it's more of a practical issue than anything else, that if that is something that you are into and you're going into the circumstances where it may be on the table, or you want to put it on the table to say, hey, I'd love if we had some fun anal play today, is to make sure that you're ready to play and everything's nice and clean and sweet and wonderful, so that no one who is engaging is hesitant because they can't dive in and really enjoy. So it's just from a practical side of things. And I think that goes with any kind of play, is just to make sure that body-wise that it makes sense and you are ready to go and you are, like Shira said, confident to say, hey, this is something I really enjoy, and just put it out there and see what happens after that.
Yeah, and if you need any tips on how to clean up or how to go about anal play, go listen to a very drunk Shira in episode 19 of Life on the Swing Set. And
she was very drunk, too.
I was so drunk. And nervous. But yes, go give that a listen.
Yeah, that was how we initiated you, wasn't it? We talked about anal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Episode 18 was the swingers versus polyamory.
That was really just a gateway to get you on talking about anal, I think.
Yeah, and by that time, I was like 4 glasses of wine in, and I could barely listen to that episode. I'm so embarrassed.
Okay, now we have one more voicemail question here on deck.
Hi, this is Sharon calling from Edson, Alberta. I'm just wondering, what was the biggest surprise about the lifestyle when you first started trying things and exploring? Okay, thanks. Bye.
I do have a thing for girls who say about.
It's the Canadians.
I love it. We have a wonderful Canadian contingency, and I'm not just saying that because I'm Twitter-pated with one of them.
Yes, you are.
So, who wants to go first on this? What was the biggest surprise that you discovered in the lifestyle?
Biggest surprise. Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
And I'll be brief. And I hope that this continues to evolve the longer that we're in the lifestyle. But one of the things I think that surprised me the most was the fact that even though people are in the lifestyle, they can have a very vanilla sense of sex. Mm-hmm. And so as people are kind of embarking on this journey to open their relationships and maybe have sex with other people, that there are certain other things, whether it's kink related or, you know, just the question of other things like anal or bondage, or I don't, just anything else that's beyond, outside of what you might consider vanilla heterosexual sex that people are shocked or blush or are it is broadening their horizons. And I guess I never thought that Prof and I were really had all that much experience or had that broad of a sense of our sexuality, but as we've gotten into the lifestyle, I feel like we've broadened other people's horizons with our preferences and our interests. And some people it's very happily so, and some people it's a little bit concerning to them. So that's one thing that shocked me when we got started, was that there were some folks out there in the swing open world that still had a pretty conservative view of what sex was supposed to be.
For me, it was the jealousy thing, that they're simply, you know, watching Marilyn for the first time with someone else, that I just didn't feel overwhelmed with a television sense of jealousy that made me, you know, wring my hands and gnash my teeth. It was pretty impressive because I expected that I might.
My most surprised experience in the lifestyle was realizing that I could go from 0 to a room full of sexy people all fucking each other in under 15 minutes.
Oh, yes. And we're going to do that again at the party coming up. Oh, yes.
Yes, we are. and that happened relatively quickly. I'd say, my first party was maybe 3 months after my swingish initiation.
Your debut.
Swing initiation. No, okay, fine. My swinger debut.
Your swing initiation.
There was a ceremony.
There was a ceremony.
I
specifically remember the raising of flags. And
the password was Fidelio. It was terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 1 month I'm having simple monogamous sex, and 3 months later it's like 12 people all writhing in a pile in multiple combinations.
Digitally added shadows to prevent NC-17.
Exactly. Or in Japan with blur areas around the naughty bits.
Oh, yes. No, it's pubic hair they don't like in Japan.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's pubic hair.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know. I could be wrong. They're weird.
Yeah. So that was my most surprising moment. I feel like that's lame compared to everybody else's. I'm sorry.
It's not lame.
I mean, come on. Three months later.
It wasn't lame, but it makes me want to just say lame.
I mean, we take it for granted now, but damn, that's it not something a lot of people get to do, you know?
It could blow your mind. I know.
Dylan, at every party, you should just sit for a moment and look at the writhing naked bodies and think, our lives are not like other people's.
This is my life. Absolutely.
Oh, it's lovely. Shirby Katz, what do you got?
Oh, I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't think this one applied to me.
It applies to you, too. What did you discover in polyamory or something?
Okay, in polyamory?
Or whatever you call it.
Any of that non-monogamous stuff. The biggest surprise that I have had in polyamory is that the first 5 years of my polyamorous experience has been nothing like the last 7. And I find that really surprising because after 5 years, you think that you have a hang of things. And that's not the case. Initially, I was operating with a lot more guards and boundaries. And I thought that everyone did. I was around a lot of people looking for the hot bi babe, as it is so infamously called. A lot of people who are in polyfidelitous relationships that are just looking for that one girl to complete them.
Ah, the unicorn.
Yeah. And I was operating under a lot of interesting boundaries, and I was just in a really different world. And what surprises me the most is that world that you enter into with polyamory, with how careful you're being and how many boundaries and rules there are. It surprises me that that goes away because there's some real neurosis involved in early on polyamory. And now all these years later, it feels so much simpler and easier. And, I'm constantly shocked by how things are now versus then. So yeah, that's me.
I just like putting that math together of 12 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
You make us all, you dwarf us
in your couple years.
Well, in your expanse of time that you have been non-monogamous.
Well, I just started early. I was born this way.
Just like the song.
Indeed. I too like to rip off Madonna.
All right. Well, I think I think excited me the most, or got me really excited, was how these relationships with these people, how so quickly I can connect with these people over, say, our vanilla friends. Like, I've shared so much more with these, like, swinger people than I've ever with anybody else in my life. I felt like I grabbed a connection. They understand me. They want to help and, you know, move your life forward. And it's just kind of like, wow. I'm like, I've never had anyone just want to be a part of my life so quickly and just, you know, have a good relationship with me and us and, you know, have a big group of people. And it's just, I think that's totally awesome.
Absolutely.
So I think that's what totally, like, blew me away, was how quickly we found people and connected with. And it's just been really awesome.
Well, nothing wraps up the speed of a connection quite like group sex.
Well, true.
Thank you to everybody for sending in the questions. Keep them coming because this is fun.
Yes,
I want to do this more. I want to do this more.
Yeah, then I can do more of these shows. I like the questions.
Yeah.
So if you want to contact us, please, please do leave us a voicemail if you have a question for us. Our phone number is 573-557-9464. And we would love to do these voicemail shows regularly. So please, 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 please leave a voicemail. Otherwise, you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. We're on Twitter as well. I am at Swingset Life. We have at Ginger N the Prof, at Shira B Katz, at Dylan _Swingset, and at Marilyn Beckett. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com. And above all, thank you all for swinging by. Thank you, everybody, for joining me.
Hey, Shira.
Yo.
Did you listen to the last episode? Listen to the last episode yet?
No, I haven't yet. I really want to because I wasn't there for it.
Well, I think you'll really enjoy the outro. We talked about you and your husband quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Mainly his big cock.
Oh, yes. Fuck. Okay.
Exactly. Oh, fuck.
It's endless. It's endless, I tell you what.
His cock is endless. Yes, it is.
Massive.
You're listening to a Swingset podcast. Hear more at lifeontheswingset.com.